Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now, for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Why are so many dogs suffering with health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's been seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. I've noticed that when I feed my dogs regular supermarket brands, they have more itchy skin, scratching their ears, behavior issues, agitation. And when I feed them healthy whole foods, superfoods, they're calmer, happier, and not having those skin issues and ear discomfort. Go to badlandsranch.com/chat and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/chat today. Ever feel like you're too busy to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. No more meal planning, no more stressing about nutrition, no more shopping. Every Sunbasket meal is designed by dietitians and chefs to be healthy, nourishing, and delicious with none of the hassle. You can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy recipes each week with dietary options like Mediterranean diet, vegetarian, carb conscious, and even gluten-free dishes, all featuring organic fresh produce. There are truly options for everyone. Plus, you don't have to lock into one type of meal plan. Pick and choose what you're in the mood for every week. Sunbasket takes care of all the hard parts of healthy eating and delivers right to your door. All you do is follow the easy step-by-step recipes, dig in, and enjoy the benefits of eating your best. I was excited to find out that they had plans including gluten-free and dairy-free recipes that are tasty. Go to sunbasket.com/therapychat today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/therapychat to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 447.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm bringing you a conversation with a fellow integrative trauma therapist, Amber Trejo. Amber Trejo is a licensed marriage and family therapist and certified clinical trauma professional who specializes in complex childhood trauma and the family system. She is the owner of Holding Hearts Counseling in Indianapolis, and a wife and mama to 3 wild boys on her own journey to heal from childhood trauma and break generational cycles of trauma and abuse. And we had an awesome conversation about being our authentic selves as therapists and how this helps people feel seen, heard, and understood. You know, there are a lot of therapists who feel they need to have a strong presence on social media for marketing purposes. I get that because I do that. And how we approach it really makes a difference, because what we share can be just for promoting what we're doing, or it can be sharing more genuine experiences of our own to help people understand that some experiences are universal, and oftentimes trauma symptoms that come up and attachment wounds that come up make us feel alone, but we're not alone. So we can normalize and destigmatize the healing process and make it educational. For me, I think I find that much more meaningful than the therapy accounts, and more so coaching accounts, where they just tell people, if you have this problem, here's what you need to do. But I can understand why those are also really appealing. So I loved my conversation with Amber. We are going to do an Instagram Live sometime later this month and go more in depth about being an integrative therapist. So pay attention on Instagram for that. When we get it set up, I'll be talking about it. And I hope you will enjoy our conversation. It might get you thinking, whether you're a therapist or someone who thinks about mental health, how social media can actually be a source of psychoeducation in a positive way, like this podcast. So as always, thank you so much for listening. Talk to you soon.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm very happy to have a guest with me to talk about something that I'm very passionate about. I'm here with Amber Trejo, LMFT, to talk about showing up authentically as a therapist for the benefit of clients to depathologize, especially trauma healing. So, Amber, I'm really excited to talk to you about this. And before we get into our topic, can you just start off by telling our audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yes, absolutely. Hi, Laura. It's so good to be here with you. And I'm so excited to be a part of this podcast. I love what you're doing. I'm a marriage and family therapist, and I'm in Indianapolis. I own my own practice. It's Holding Hearts Counseling. And I specialize in trauma, specifically childhood trauma, complex trauma. And I use an integrative approach when treating trauma. So I use, of course, mind, body. We're incorporating lots of different things into that. And I've been doing that for about 5 years now.
Lovely. And, you know, when you said that you specialize in complex trauma, that's also my specialty. And you mentioned childhood trauma. Can we take a second and just, for people who are listening, explain what complex trauma means?
Yeah. So, and anything I miss, feel free to add on, because I feel like it's complex. Dare I say. But yeah, so complex trauma is basically trauma that is, it's reoccurring. So the chronic trauma would be reoccurring trauma, but complex trauma is really, it's a series of different multiple traumatic events that happen in our lifetime. And they often happen during our developmental ages. And it has a lot to do with our very interpersonal relationships. And so it impacts our sense of self really deeply. And
I love that you said that.
Yeah. So I think that is the way that I generally sum it up for people, is just that's the difference between just trauma, right? Trauma. It could be one incident. It could be.
There's so many different types of things that can be trauma.
Yes. And when we think complex, I really think, you know, those really close relationships, those really, really monumental stages in your life, and kind of like multiple things that happened that created this sense of self inside of the person that would be different than somebody who didn't have those different experiences. So it's almost like with complex trauma, I'm curious what your take is on this, but it's almost like it's so interwoven into who we actually
are. It really is.
Right? Yeah. It's almost like, who am I apart from all of these different things that happened to me?
Yeah, I love that. I love that you said that. And I thank you for giving that definition. And because I think that I mean, for one thing, children are inherently dependent upon their caregivers and they're powerless because they, you know, at first we can't walk, we can't talk, we can't even move. You know, when we're first born, we can move our arms and legs, but we can't even move our bodies. So we're really dependent upon our caregivers and the environment that we come into when we're born to be a safe holding environment for us and to meet all of our needs. We don't have the ability to really express our needs in detail when we're babies. And it's the hope that an attuned caregiver will be able to pick up on what we need and meet those needs, you know, so there's attuning to the needs and then attending to the needs. And ideally, a baby would come into a warm and loving family that, you know, values them and is so excited that they're there and has all the resources and capacity to really give that baby everything they need. But first of all, in our current time, in our culture, the way our society is so individualistic, you know, families aren't together like they would have been, you know, in earlier times, you know, hundreds of years ago. And the consumerism and materialism that we live within keeps everybody just hustling all the time, busy, busy, busy. So, you know, most babies are not coming into a family that's just like able to like nurture and hold. It's usually pretty stressed people. And many times the parents who the baby comes into their home are also have their own trauma. So they have gaps in how well they're able to be attuned to their baby when someone may not have been attuned to them. So I want to say that because I think that people, there's a lot of shame that we can carry in just feeling that we weren't loved the way we wish we could have been loved. And we assign that to something about ourselves that's lacking, when really there's so many factors that make it difficult for new parents to be able to, you know, be everything that that baby needs. And it doesn't mean they don't love them. But, you know, as we go through childhood, all these little places where our needs weren't met impact our developing sense of self. I just love that you said how it impacts the sense of self, because that's such an overlooked concept, I think, in the way that we culturally think about trauma when people are thinking about it at all. And what you said about I'm on my little notes here. I drew this little scribble, like, you know, that swirl is like us developing around, you know, the experiences that we have. And it's like, you know, that's one of the challenges of healing after experiencing developmental trauma, is that every age and stage that we go through is influenced by those experiences of either unmet attachment needs or traumatic experiences, losses, abuse, you know, homelessness, instability, chaos, substance use in the home. You know, there's just so many things that can impact us, and children take it on as, I caused this, you know, this is this way because of me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Did you see Inside Out 2? Just a little caveat.
I haven't.
Okay. It's so good. But in it, they have the sense of self. And Riley's sense of self are all of these different moments in her life. You know, they're kind of sprouting up like this light from the ground. When you just showed me that image, it made me kind of think of this. And it's just all of these really powerful moments throughout her life of when she was really connected to her parents, when she was experiencing that attunement. And then also, you know, at the end, they incorporated the hard, you know, some of the hard moments. But what I was thinking about with complex trauma in that is just like, thinking of all of those different instances that are kind of like shooting up, all of those moments that really like define a complex trauma survivor's sense of self.
Yeah.
And those moments that are like the verbal abuse or the emotional abuse, the physical abuse, the lack of attunement, the lack of acknowledgement, the lack of a need being met, right? And it's just like kind of all creating this sense of self at the end. But I find that with a lot of complex trauma survivors, the good in there is it won a lot less than the bad, but then also harder for them to find because their brains are so, they need to be able to connect to the negative experiences to keep themselves safe. So I think that a large part of the work that I do is also like reconnecting to other moments in life that were those moments of, I can't get what I need, or I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy. I don't know if that makes any sense.
But. Yeah, yes, it does. And you know what you said about that there's less good than bad, you know, the less access to good. And I think it's when I first went to therapy, counting myself as a complex trauma survivor, when I first went to therapy and I thought back on my childhood to try to figure out, you know, what are my issues? Because I naively went into therapy like, I'm here to find out what my issues are. I want to be a therapist. So I'd like to know what my issues are. They're like, well, what do you think some of your issues could be? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm here asking you. I feel so sorry for that therapist. They were probably like, like, what was your childhood like? I'm like, oh, my family was great. Everything was fine. Except my parents got divorced. Start crying. And they're like, okay, well, let's start there. So of course, you know, once we got in there, actually, once I got in there with them and multiple other therapists over the years, I really found, wow, there's so much here that has impacted me. But when I would think back, you know, I could remember like some moments. It's not that I had no memory of my childhood. It's just I could remember some moments, some nice moments, and then sort of generalize like, oh, we always did this on the holidays. You know, maybe I'm remembering like 1 or 2 years, but it's like we always did this and it always felt like this. And that warm, cozy feeling of family, like that was the part I wanted to remember. But the all those moments that, you know, I didn't feel okay. I was alone. I was alone to figure everything out. And that's a lot of it, is that I was just alone so much. So it's kind of like there's not like memories of family to go to. It's more moments, and mainly like scary things that happened that I didn't know how to deal with, or times when I, you know, blamed myself for something, the way something turned out. So the point I'm trying to make is that negativity bias keeps us focused on those negative experiences, because those were the unsafe moments that our system has to remember so we can avoid danger in the future, like you said. So I just wanted to say, like, access to the good moments, because they are there, but they're tucked away kind of under the things we don't like to think about that were scary, overwhelming, too much type experiences. And oftentimes people think trauma therapy means they have to go in and dig up all these scary, horrible experiences that they don't want to feel, they don't want to remember. But it can also be accessing those positive experiences and giving more space to allow that to expand inside. So then we have more capacity to tolerate beginning to remember those other things that happened, if that's what, you know, comes up. I mean, it's not like a given that you're going to remember things when you go to trauma therapy, but I know that I'm like diving right in here, but we when we talk about being complex or healing from complex trauma, I think it's helpful to understand that complex trauma doesn't mean you're super broken or really a complicated situation that, you know, is like too much. Because I think that's what people take away when they hear that word complex trauma or complex PTSD.
Yeah. And I think a big part of the reason why that happens is just because there is so much stigma around. And I mean, it's getting way better now, you know, of course. But I do think there's still so much stigma around having trauma and even trauma survivor. I mean, it was like, so it took me so long to call myself that, you know, and just to say abuse and things like that, right? And and I just think there's still a lot of shame that people carry that you're messed up, you know? Like, yeah, that's what? That happened to you? Or, oh, like you have that? There's just still a lot of a stigma and a lot of shame behind it. And I think that that's one piece that I do with my content creation and the reason why I talk about being a trauma survivor is just to normalize that, like, oh, like it's people that it's every, not everybody, but it's people that you're just, you're seeing that look that you might not ever even guess that, you know, had these experiences and that you might think, oh man, they have the perfect life. Or maybe you think they had the perfect life, right? So that's the thing with complex trauma that I realized after becoming a trauma therapist. Like, so my trauma presented in a lot of like really big traumatizing events that I have a lot of explicit memory for and other memories that like it's harder for me, or lack of memories that it's harder for me to put a finger on. But what I've realized since working with complex trauma and really diving into trauma therapy is that, like, oh, a lot of the people that I thought that like I wanted their family life also had these experiences of being humiliated by their parents or being talked down to or just not being attuned to, being disregarded. And that, or it was all about image, for instance, like with my family system, it was like nothing, there was no image. Like it was like my, you know, and I wanted my mom to try a little bit harder, but like a lot of people's complex trauma comes from like, we have to maintain this image. Nobody can know what's happening behind closed doors. There's addiction going on. There's emotional abuse. There's just a complete disconnection.
Mom's depressed.
Yeah. Ooh, yes. I love that you brought that up. Yeah. Mental illness. That's just not talked about because it's like, we don't want to talk about that. And so, yeah, even so, I think that that's another big piece of it is just that idea that it's out there and it's not necessarily what you think it looks like. It's not just kids who are growing up in foster care and, you know, these types of things. It, I mean, that's a piece of it, but it's also these other elements as well.
Ready to take your backyard bird watching to the next level? I can't stop telling everybody about my new FeatherSnap bird feeder. It's a Wi-Fi enabled smart bird feeder, blending the best of technology and nature. I've enjoyed so much since we got this thing set up, looking up close at the birds. When they land on the feeder, I get a notification to my phone with a picture. There's three pictures every time a bird lands on the feeder. And I get to see some cool action shots. I can see their faces close up, their eyes, their feathers, the detail on their heads. It's amazing. I've enjoyed seeing woodpeckers, goldfinches, male and female, house finches, chickadees, tufted titmouse, blue jay, a few squirrels. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. My issue with perimenopause was bloating, inflammation. I was also super fatigued and I had a lot of trouble sleeping. Now it's easier to manage menopause with Hormone Harmony. I went to a party last weekend and I couldn't believe how many of the women I was talking to were saying that they were going through perimenopause and had no relief from bloating, gas, hot flashes, mood swings, and just not feeling themselves. And I got it. I told them. I've been there. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. Women can't stop talking about it on social media, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogen. Here's the beauty about adaptogen. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymama.com. Just use the code CHAT at checkout. That's happymama.com and use the code CHAT for 15% off today.
Therapist, we've all had that moment. You wake up in the middle of the night. Oh my gosh, did I do my notes? Well, you don't have to worry about that anymore when you use Therapy Notes. Therapy Notes makes it easy to write your notes, get them done quickly, but thoroughly. My group practice has used Therapy Notes for 6 years, and everyone always finds it easy to use. But the best thing is, if you do need help, you can call their customer service number and a person answers the phone. And anytime I've ever had to use it, which is maybe 3 times in the past 6 years, my issue has been resolved easily with a cheerful demeanor in 15 minutes or less. So I highly recommend Therapy Notes. And don't forget, go to therapynotes.com and use promo code CHAT to get 2 free months.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of misconception about that. People who appear really put together, maybe as a way to help themselves feel separated from that past. I know for me, when I first went back to school to become a therapist, I was 29 when I started working to finish my bachelor's degree. And then I got my bachelor's when I was 35 and I got my master's when I was 39.
Oh my gosh, we're like so close in that. Sorry. I finished my bachelor's at 32, but went back to school at 29 and then graduated at 35. So we're super close. I didn't realize that was your path too. Okay, cool. Awesome.
See, it's one of those things where it's like we think everybody else has things a certain way, but I wanted to get as far away as I could from what I would have thought of as like my shameful past. I wanted to put that behind me. Like, that's a different person. That's not me. I mean, I knew it was me, but you know, it's like, that's the old me, and the new me knows better, does better, and won't make those mistakes again, you know, because really I was still operating from a lot of self, like a lot of shame and self-blame. And if someone had said, you know, are you impacted by shame? I would say no.
Exactly.
Shame. Ooh.
What?
Uh-huh.
Same. Yeah.
Not me.
I'm just like cringing, like, whoa. wrong person. Wrong person. No.
Nothing to see. Nothing to see here.
Exactly. Yes. It's such a dirty word. Right? It's just like, it's like, and it happens with my clients all the time too. I'll be like, oh, is there like a little shame? You know, like, what? No.
Yeah, because it feels so pervasive and gross when shame washes over us. And I was interviewing Janina Fisher in March, and she was talking about how shame, this is probably the most impactful thing that I've learned about shame. It was impactful for me. Might not blow everyone's minds, but she said that shame allows us to submit. So it's kind of like, what I'm interpreting that to mean is that when the parent is screaming at the child and the child knows the parent is wrong for what they're doing, they would fight back. They would scream back. They would run away, whatever. And to stand there so you can stay attached with your parent because you have to for survival, you have the shame allows you to stay there and not show how you feel. And like, it's like, oh, so that was the feeling that protected me from like the horror of what this is, even though it feels awful when, you know, a child feels they're not getting their parents' approval. It sounds like a small thing to an adult, like, oh, approval, who cares? But no, for a child, it's like lifeblood. They need their parents' approval. And then I remember when I was interviewing her, I was already feeling a little bit of shame even before I started the interview. And I was asking her about shame and I was like, oh, I hate even that we're talking about this. Meanwhile, I'm really happy that I'm talking with her. And, you know, I value and respect everything she has to offer. And so part of me is beating myself up for feeling bad. Something was going on in my personal life that was bringing up this reaction. And then at the same time, I'm like trying to hide how bad I'm feeling so I can show up and do this well, you know? Which is, I think, kind of a metaphor for how a lot of us operate through our lives, just sort of pretending that we don't loathe ourselves, you know? For me, that was in that moment. But I did that a lot when I was younger because it was just for survival.
Absolutely. And I think the revelation for me with shame, like, came in the way of that it shows up as perfectionism, right? And so for me, what I had been doing, so like when I, in my younger years, like in my early 20s and stuff, I was just like, screw it. I'm just gonna like party and go crazy and everything. And then once I became a mom and stuff, it was like the opposite. It was like, I don't want anybody to know that I am not perfect, that I struggle with this and that I struggle with that. So if I just come across like really confident and if I just do everything perfectly, you know, I went back to school after I had become a mom. And
me
a big
too.
Part of that was like, I could dive into something and get straight A's and feel like, I know this, like the back of my hand, because in my heart, I felt like I have no idea what I'm doing in the parenting piece, right? And so
oh, yeah.
I realized that I was kind of like still really trying to present as like, oh, but I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I have the perfect marriage. I have the perfect family. And a lot of that was just like this shame of still feeling like you don't belong here. You don't belong with these people. You don't belong even doing well in school. You don't belong as a mom. Like, who do you think you are? You know? And so when I see somebody presenting as perfect now, it just like, it really hits me because I'm just like, I know what that feels like. And it's so hard and it's so lonely at the same time too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like hiding, running away from yourself, which is sad because there's nothing wrong with us, you know? But, you know, there's these cultural ideals that women in particular feel a lot of pressure to fulfill, to try to look a certain way, try to always appear your best. Your value is in your appearance. That in itself is very harmful. Yep. And then the thing about being a mother is this ideal, you know, like this like Virgin Mary ideal, you know, that you're supposed to be this perfect, selfless, loving, giving, always getting it right with your kids, doing it all, you know, and in our culture, we just add on more and more, you know, you got to be the room mom. You got to be like, your house has to be perfect. Your relationship has to be perfect. Your appearance has to be perfect. Everything has to appear easy and breezy. No problem, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a setup.
100%. Yes. And I could never find my people that way, which also just made me even feel more like I don't belong, you know? And so I think
it's hard because you're performing, so you can't find your people because they can't find you, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And you're like not being vulnerable about any of the stuff, you know, that like, hey, is anybody else just winging it out here? Like, you know, is anybody else struggling with this? Because I am. And so I do feel like some part of content creation is really helpful with that. Because I think it's becoming out a lot. It's coming out a lot more that like, hey, it's hard. It's not easy.
Yeah. And so speaking of content creation, as we come towards the end of our time, which went by so fast, and I really wanted to ask you more about your actual way of practicing, but I think this has been a really interesting conversation. Maybe we'll come back and do another one, but you have done a lot to build up a pretty big Instagram following. And so talk about how you use your platform on Instagram to, you know, destigmatize and depathologize anti-perfectionism type stuff.
Yeah. So I think that what I offer in my content creation and what I try to do is offer emotional attunement to my community, right? That is on Instagram. And I think what I realized that I didn't realize I was actually doing that until I posted one of my first like vulnerable posts of like being triggered by my child when he's the same age I was when some of my really big traumatic events happened, right? And this is a feeling I'd maybe shared with like a couple people. And I don't encourage you to go share your most vulnerable feelings on Instagram. And I did it. And instead of coming at Instagram as an expert, as like, or as like a therapist, like, well, let me tell you how you should be with your kids. I shared this moment that happens for me that's really hard, that like, I feel like is not talked about. Like, hey, when you've been through a really traumatic situation, and your child is the same age as you were, or even if you weren't emotionally attuned to, right? Like you said that thing,
which
like,
is really traumatic. It might not seem like it when you think back, but it's so impactful.
Well, and that's what I was thinking about when you said like a child not having its parents' approval, right? Like you don't realize how impactful that is until you have your own children, until you see how much your children want to please you and just want to see you happy and how much it devastates them when you're unhappy with something they do, right? I feel like it really brings that up. It like puts an emphasis on it. And so I shared that and a lot of people resonated with that and were just like, oh my gosh. And then I started just sharing more of these feelings of just like that we have as complex trauma survivors and also with some psychoeducation on why we feel like that and what helps. And I feel like that is really what I'm doing online. It's like my way of helping people in a wide, from a wider range, and doing that in a way that I don't feel like I feel like it's different than some other people are doing, right? It feels different to me.
I'm so glad you shared that. And, you know, I think that right now, I mean, I must say, I'm glad that there is a lot of psychoeducation about all things related to mental health, especially the stuff that's accurate, that's on social media. I'm most appreciative of that. But I'm so glad that it's become normal for people to talk about mental health on social media, because it presents information to everyone where it just becomes a normal topic of conversation. But I think that a lot of therapists do, and I'm not criticizing anyone in particular, but I think that, you know, they feel like the best way to show up on social media is to teach people and provide, like, if you feel this, you should do this, which I still feel can kind of have a flavor of like hierarchy and, you know, talking down to people, that they might feel right in some ways, but I don't think it's really that helpful. I think when we say, I'm a therapist and I understand what it's like to struggle, because if you are human, you do know what it's like to struggle. And if you're a therapist who's pretending never to have struggled and only to know how to help everybody else not struggle, that just doesn't feel authentic. And I think it kind of just makes people feel, it kind of reinforces that stigma and that idea of, I'm broken, something's wrong with me. But it's safer. It feels safer as the one who's creating the content to do it that way. But I think for people, when they're consuming it, they're like, this is resonating with me. This feels right. This is what I want more of. So I'm very grateful that you were brave enough. I mean, talking about being triggered by your kid basically is not the kid's fault. It's, you know, to be able to share that, gosh, I bet that helped so many people feel less alone.
My gosh. Yes. And that was powerful. It was powerful to see. It made me realize, like, it is worth it. I mean, I'm still protective over what I do share. I make sure it's something that I've somewhat already processed and worked through,
coming,
you know,
from a grounded place.
Exactly. But I do feel like, yeah, it's amazing how much attunement is really healing, right? Like being able to say, oh, I feel this way and I know what that feels like, you know, that's powerful.
Yeah. I mean, it helps other people go, oh, that's what that is. Oh, there's a name for this.
Yeah. And it feels less lonely there.
It does. I think one of the biggest secrets about becoming a parent is how much it shatters open or explodes our attachment wounds. And, you know, it could be a beautiful opportunity for healing, or it could be an opportunity for totally reenacting what our parents did to us. And the difference is how cognizant, conscious, and aware and intentional you are with what you're doing as a parent.
Oh, that is so true. And that's another big piece of what I feel like, why I want to do what I'm doing. Because I feel like once I understood what was happening for me, I was like, oh, okay, that's not so scary.
I can work with this.
Yeah. And I remember when I went to Psychotherapy Networker like 2 years ago, I did Bessel van der Kolk's workshop, and he was talking about how they do all of this research about trauma and all of this, and that like none of it gets to the people that it needs to get to, right? And so we're spending all of this money on research and all of these things, but it's hard for the people who actually need it to get it. And that's a large part of what you're doing right now. And that's a large part of what I'm doing with the content creation, is like breaking these concepts down really easily and in a way that people are just like, oh, okay, and feel less alone, and then in turn, like, understand themselves and heal. And it's amazing. And I think that's beautiful that we have those types of things at our fingertips now.
You're right. You know, that's a beautiful concept to end with. If I haven't thought about this that much that way, but if what we're doing is actually, because I'm like, why can't we put like signs on the inside of the bus that say, instead of screaming at your kids or hitting them, here's a more effective way to teach them how to, you know, act right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to put it into what people are thinking about when they're doing that, they're trying to have their kid be able to be safe in society. And, you know, they know what their parents did. So if that's what they know and they don't have other info coming in, then that's what they're going to repeat. But instead of me being upset that nobody puts it on buses, like, we need a public health campaign. Maybe that's what that this is, you know,
yes.
in a layman's way, or like for much more accessible and not through the government, that people can actually take these little nuggets of information and go, oh, I want to do things differently. I mean, that's a very hopeful idea.
I'm shocked.
Can't
that
believe
you've
I thought of that before.
I'm like, you have this podcast that's reaching all of these like millions of people, and you're just like, oh, wow, yeah.
Oh, is this going to help someone?
Yeah.
I always think about it as helping therapists learn how to practice differently, but I haven't thought about the way that social media. I don't know why I didn't, but you know, even as I'm talking about it with you, I'm like, oh. Good point. So
I love that. Yes. Yeah. I love it. I think it's so powerful. And it's amazing for the reach of what we can do as mental health professionals, you know?
It is. So when we think about being some kind of an influencer on social media, wherever, what kind of platform we show up on, that's the influence. That's the influence, is that, you know, destigmatizing mental health and making a difference. It's not about, you know, becoming a millionaire from your social media presence, but how many people you can help. So
exactly. Yes. And those messages are the best, you know, like, oh my gosh, I feel so seen. That is my favorite thing to hear. So yeah, it's powerful.
Oh, beautiful. Yes. And Amber, thank you for what you do. Thank you for your commitment to the way you show up. I really value that.
Thank you so much. Thank you for what you do and for having me on here and talking with me. It's been so awesome. It's been so fun.
Yes, it has been. This is our first time meeting everyone, so just so you know. So Amber, tell people where they can find you online.
Yes. So on Instagram, my handle is Integrative Trauma Therapist, and my website is www.theintegrativetraumatherapist.com. And I do offer a freebie as well on my website. And you can find that on my Instagram about how trauma impacts our nervous system and things that you can start doing to get yourself in a more safe and connected place.
Ooh.
Yeah. There's a little checklist on there and it's all polyvagal based, but really like broken down simply and for anybody who wants to grab that.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest on Therapy Chat today, Amber. I've really enjoyed talking with you.
Yes, I've enjoyed it too.
Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.